Lord, we just thank you for this day, for the ability to come and gather in your name. We're so grateful for all that you do for us every day. You provide us a place to live and food to eat when there's many that don't have that. Father, we're just grateful. Speak to our hearts today, Lord Jesus, and Lord, we'll try to cooperate so that there's a change. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's see, where did we drop off last week, or 2 weeks ago? I guess it was we down to about verse 20-something? Let's see. How far do you think we got down? Anybody remember?
Which chapter was this?
Chapter 6 of Matthew, yeah. I see, maybe we didn't get that far. We might have been a little higher than that, yeah.
I think we got down to the Lord's Prayer, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Where was it?
Lord's Prayer.
Okay. Okay, does anybody have anything they want to say about the Lord's Prayer before we continue on?
I got a question.
Yeah.
The way it states, he's teaching them, right? He's teaching all of us. That pray after this manner.
Yeah.
And we've heard from, I guess, other people's opinions that if you keep on saying it, keep on saying it, keep on saying it, that's a sign that you don't believe it. Now, that's a lie, first of all. To me, that encourages ourselves that we keep on believing it. We trust in the hand of God, and it's actually us reminding ourselves that we haven't received what we prayed.
Yeah.
And that could be on our belief part. And if there's any obedience to it, it's probably obedience part.
You know, it says in verse 9, it says, "And after this manner, therefore, pray ye." You know, it tells them our Father and so forth. I think really what this prayer is it's a template for how you should pray. You know, you're acknowledging Him as Father. You're saying, "Your kingdom come." Well, He hadn't taught them where the kingdom of God was yet, because this was early in the gospel. You know, later on He taught them where the kingdom of God is. He said, "It doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you." You know. But what he's really saying is let my kingdom come inside of you, you know. And, you know, then he goes on and talks about, forgiving your debtors, you know, lead us not into temptation, you know, deliver us from evil. You know, he talks about thine is the glory, the power, and so on and so forth. And then it goes on and says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know. So, literally, when he was laying that out for them, I don't think he expected you to pray that exact prayer all the time. But he was giving you a template for what you should pray. You should pray His kingdom come, because if His kingdom comes, guess where it's going to come at? In you. And, you know, and when you acknowledge Him as Him, the Lord, as being your Father, you know, that's an intimate relationship. That's a relationship where you can totally should be able to totally rely on each other. You know, you rely on Him and Him rely on you, you know. And, you know, a lot of people want to just quote that prayer all the time, that particular prayer, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful prayer, you know, but I believe really what his intention was is this is the template of the way I want you to pray, you know, and if you do it in that way, by acknowledging Him as Father, by knowledge of His, desiring His kingdom to come, His will to be done in your life. And you know, a lot of times when I pray for people, a lot of times I don't always pray that a certain thing happen. a lot of times I will find myself praying, Father, your perfect will be done in this situation, you know, because that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And there is times when you should take authority in a prayer, and God gives you that anointing to take authority. And any time that happens, you can proclaim or whatever, and it will come to pass, you know. But I think a lot of times, if we just realize that's pretty much the template of how we should pray, you know what I mean?
Don't you think that a lot of things that he put in here when he was telling us about it and teaching us was the fact that he already knew trials and stuff that we
sure.
would go through
yeah.
in that situation.
Right.
He didn't mention anything in there that we probably aren't familiar with that actually has happened to all of us. And I remember when Mom was getting ready to go, and I said, can I pray for you? And she says, sure. And I said, God, I ask that your will be done. And then I say, and all of us that remain be able to accept that.
That's it.
Because, I mean, you can go halfway, but God knows your heart. And my heart was, the rest of us know that it's your will.
Well, see, I think that really pleases the Lord when you say, your will be done, you know. Because what you're saying is, Father, I totally trust you. I'm going to commit. I'm going to surrender in whatever you do. You know what I mean? And I think that's the best thing you can do. I think like I told you all before, in James, when it says, you know, the perfect law of liberty, that the Lord let me know that the perfect law of liberty was basically surrender. You know, basically surrendering everything to him. You know. Because surrender doesn't seem like the perfect law of liberty. You think, fight on, fight through, you know, that kind of thing. And in God's will, where you say, Lord, I trust you. I'm giving it to you. I'm surrendering it to you. And then the hard part comes of
dealing with
letting go, mm-hmm. getting your hands off mm-hmm. of it. Because we still have a tendency that, well, let me say, Lord, it's all yours.
That's not what I would have done.
I want to get it done this way, you know, and that don't work. I mean, it usually what happens when we do that, we make a bigger mess of it than
yep.
what would have been if we'd have slept it alone. But we just had a little bit of a situation. I won't go into the whole thing, but where we were trying to be the peacemakers in the middle of a family situation, you know, not. And, you know, because we had no bone to pick in any part of it, really, in that sense. And, you know, we had some sisters that weren't on good terms with each other. We were trying to help by getting in the middle a little bit and trying to keep the peace, you know what I mean? Well, we just had to step back
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, you guys want to fight it out, you know. I mean, because we've negotiated things a lot of times for people when there's been a death in the family. And this has nothing to do with Uncle Wiley. This is something else. My Uncle Wiley passed away, by the way.
No, I didn't see him on the video.
No, well, he just did.
Man.
It was
Friday?
Yeah, Friday night, I guess it was.
Yeah, but they didn't put it on the little group thing.
Well, no, it just happened, you know. There's no kind of arrangements made, but he's going to be buried up in Mount Orb, so there won't be anything anywhere around here done, you know.
But I mean, they already put things that they put on there. And
yeah, well, we really hadn't. It just happened, and we really hadn't told anybody that much, you know.
And the good thing is he got to see 100.
Yeah.
He wanted to live to be 100. He got to see it.
That's what he said. He wanted to live to be 100. He turned 100 in January. So just a day or two ago.
Right.
President Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think I said that to you yesterday.
Yeah.
President Carter
yeah.
got to be
100. Yeah, I just told Clyde. Well, it actually just happened the week Friday night. And then we seen Clyde and him yesterday at one of Sammy's volleyball games.
And he got hurt.
And he did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because poked that in a little thing.
He said he rolled his ankles, what he told me.
Yeah.
It looked to me, sitting in the seats, that one of his teammates landed on his foot, but he said, no, I think I just rolled it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I've been there and done that a few times, and it hurts.
He cracked me up. I went over and talked to him.
Yeah.
While he was still there, I said, Sammy, I love you. I said, I'd never tell you to do anything that would hurt you. I said, but I'd have never taken your shoe off that sock. You know what he said? Grandpa, I had it on until he told me to take it off.
Yeah, he took it off.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted him to get up.
Yeah.
He's got adrenaline going. I wanted him to get up, just walk, not twist or nothing, just walk, and maybe walk that off.
Take your shoe off.
But, oh, when he did that, it swelled up.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But he's got to go back and have some more tests, and they're going to, they put a boot on him and put him on crutches. And,
I remember when I was playing basketball, tournament basketball.
Yeah.
And I was playing against my brother-in-law, and I went up, got a rebound over him. And when I was coming down, he gave me the hip.
Oh, he hip checked you.
Well, I came down, twisted my ankle, but I played for probably an hour after that, and it didn't bother me. But when I got home and took my shoe off the next day,
can I talk about, ask the question? It didn't bother you. You're talking about playing wise.
Yeah.
But it bothered you right here, because that.
I didn't think about it when I was playing.
Really?
I was guarding a guy who was like 6'2", and I'm here 5'9½".
Ooh.
And
you're a bad dude, man.
Well, he wasn't that good of a jumper, but I could touch the rim with my hand standing still. But no, I wasn't a bad dude. I was too thin to win and too light to fight.
The worst time I ever twisted mine was, we used to get the gym across the street from church.
Yeah.
They played volleyball and basketball and stuff. And they were playing volleyball this particular night, and I was over there. And I jumped up to try to hit a ball, you know, it was just barely over the net. I jumped and tried to hit the ball over the net. And I came down, and I kind of jumped sideways to hit it. Came down, landed on rolled my ankle over. Went to the doctor, and they said, you'd have been better off if you broke it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what he told me. He said,
yeah,
you'd have been better. He said,
yeah,
you've tore it up pretty good. And that ankle swelled up for years after that. Years, I mean. And then it was time to start playing softball, and we had just won our league and our tournament that I was playing in. And those guys kept telling me, come on back and play. And I didn't want to play because my ankle was still kind of messed up. So they finally talked me into it, so I went and played softball with them. I would go and play, and my shoe would be like here. This would be my foot in my shoe. And above my shoe, it would be like that when I got done. And I mean, it would swell that big. And I finally said, I'm done.
No more.
I played the whole season, but I told myself, I'm done, you know. And I don't think we won that year. It wasn't because of me, but, you know, we just didn't do that good.
I'll be watching these pro football players.
Yeah.
You know how they fall on each other and get their leg all bent different.
Oh, my God.
Now.
It's unbelievable.
And some of them are, you know, like later on they'll come back in the game. But can you imagine like a big lineman about almost 300 pounds landing on your ankle or leg? It's all bent funny.
One of the worst ones I ever seen was when the Bengals were playing years ago in the Super Bowl.
Crumrie.
He got his leg broke, and you could see it get
broke. You could
it
see
was it broke bad. And he never was the same after that. And he was really, really good.
They don't show that stuff anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
That's against 49ers. They've only been there twice.
Yeah,
they beat twice
yeah.
with 49ers,
yeah,
right?
I mean, it snapped his leg, man.
Well, wait a minute. They've been there three times. Got beat by the Rams a couple years ago.
But anyway, Lord, we pray for everybody that's been hurt on their feet.
Yeah.
We just ask you that your mercy would be there, especially on Sam, because he's trying to get into that volleyball pretty good, and he's pretty good.
He is.
And he's trying to get into that, so.
He told me he didn't think they could win without him.
Well, I'll tell you what, he made some really good plays last night.
And you
should feel that way. Because if you don't have confidence in yourself, you know, you're not going to be that good. And he is good. He's
I can't
good.
Imagine these guys, like, when they hit a low ball, they dive on the floor for it and all that.
That's what they were doing.
They were all wearing knee pads, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them even whole pants covering their legs because you skid and you're skidding them.
Well, Sammy's tall and lanky, and he can jump high, and he's a good athlete.
And now he's got some muscles.
Yeah, he's a good athlete. But anyway, so remember him in your prayers. He heals fast because it's going to be hard on him because they want him to stay off for about a month and not play for a month. So he must have tore it up pretty good, but they're also going to do some, I think, an MRI again or something.
What they said?
Yeah, something like that. So anyway.
Can I read this prayer that's on our prayer chain?
Yeah.
Just because it goes with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Lord, you're with Bob and Janet. Thy will be done. We trust you. Let them feel our love added to yours.
That's good.
That's what you were saying.
You know about Bob, right? You know Bob and Janet Bingaman?
Janet used to play the piano years ago.
Blonde haired guy, her husband.
Bob was, you guys might not have been coming at that time, you know. That was
what, down in the.
Down, oh yeah. Bob
Janet,
and Jim.
Janet
Bingaman.
And she got a sister, but they sing together.
She's
Charlene.
Sister.
Charlene's wife.
Charlene's sister.
That's her sister.
All right, and she's got dark hair.
Yeah.
She had dark hair.
Right.
And she was shorter.
Yeah.
I remember them, but I don't remember the husband, but I remember the sister.
Yeah.
Well, he had a blood
clot.
And that
was Charlene.
Right.
It's her sister, yeah.
That's her sister.
Oh, I just remember the one was dark hair and one had the blonde hair.
That was Janet.
Charlene sings, Janet plays, and sings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
but
so
anyway,
Bob had what happened to him?
Blood clot,
right.
He's in hospice, so they're expecting him to pass away. Mm-hmm.
He's young. He's probably 90.
Yeah, he's probably close to 90, yeah. But anyway, but you know, honestly, that's the only true prayer that you can pray if God doesn't inspire you to pray in another direction than that. You know, that His will be done because, I mean, there's times when we just don't know. And if we're not careful, we're trying to tell God how to do His thing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I think that happens a lot.
Yeah, I do. And then, well, I've told you all the story about one time when David Halls was supposed to come and speak at the church, and he didn't show up. They called and said he wasn't coming or something. And Audrey called me up, and she said, Brother Oscar, she says, David Halls isn't going to be there tonight. It was on a Wednesday night. And she says, and Brother Eddie's not feeling good. He's not going to be there. And she says, so it'll probably be on you or something like that. But I had told Margaret right before that happened. I mean, I was in the bathroom, I was shaving. I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, I just feel like I'm going to speak tonight. I said, I had no intention of speaking or nothing. And the Lord was letting me know.
Oh yes.
but Audrey was just taken for granted that I would do it, and it kind of aggravated me a little bit. I have to be honest. It kind of aggravated me because she knew this stuff ahead of time and didn't really tell me, you know. But that's okay, you know. And I'm human like everybody else. Especially back then, I was still very young Christian. So when we got there, she come over and she says, "This is going to be on you tonight, Oscar." And I said, tell you what, Sister Audie, how about you getting up and sharing first? And she was kind of, because this was David Hall's people, you know, they expecting hearing something deep, really deep. And she kind of, she says, well, I don't know if I can do that. And I says, well, how about just sharing your testimony?
I've never
heard your testimony before.
She
and she got up and she shared her testimony. And I got up and I spoke and, you know, and I shared some things out of Ephesians and different things. And it went just fine. And this one guy out there, he says, I can't remember exactly how he says, but I just want to testify or something. I said, okay, brother. And he wasn't somebody that normally came to our church. And I said, okay, brother. And he got up and he says, I just want to tell you, he says, I was having prayer meetings down in my basement. And he says, and the kids in the neighborhood get a little rowdy. And he says, this one kid come in there and he had a boom box up on his shoulder and it was blaring. And he says, I told him, you need to leave. And that kid told him, nah, I'm not leaving, mister. He said, I said, in the name of Jesus, I come against that radio. And he said, that kid looked at him and said, mister, I hate to tell you, he says, I just put new batteries in there. And he was really down in the mouth because that radio didn't die. And he said that. And I was saying, I told him, I said, brother, you gotta learn to work with the Word of God, not try to make the Word of God work. I about broke out laughing when he said that. I was having to control myself from laughing at him. He says, that man, he said, Mr. I hate to take my put new batteries. What he should have done, said, brother, won't you come and join us and sit down?
I was going to say,
Kim was obviously, he was obviously seeking something, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But here he was going to come against that devil and that boy.
He come against the wrong thing.
Yeah, he did. He did.
David Hulse has a channel on YouTube.
Please?
David Hulse has the channel.
Does he? Yeah. I haven't heard from him in many years. I ended up having to speak for him a couple different times. Not that I really wanted to. But Carl and Brother Eddie decided they didn't want him to come anymore. And I won't say anything because we're recording. But he decided they didn't want him to come. And Brother Eddie was the pastor, you know. But anyway, let's get back to prayer. You know, Scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you know, effectual and fervent means hot. You know, and you know when it's hot is when God starts inspiring, and when His inspiration is there, and He begins to. I shared this before. One time years ago. This man came into a Sunday night service, it was. He came to a Sunday night service, and he asked if he could, you know, testify or say something during that, you know, prayer type situation. And they said, yeah. And he got up and he said, his next door neighbor, this little girl, that she had went crazy, you know. And he said that they had taken her to Longview. And Longview used to be, it's not there anymore, they closed it down. But it was an insane asylum. And so he said that the doctors had checked her all out and stuff, and they said that they didn't think there was any hope for her. You know, that she was just gone. And when he was saying that, man, the Spirit of God was just rising up inside of me. And I was a real young Christian, and I mean, and it was rising up, the anointing, and it was just rising up real heavy. But I was still a little backward about speaking up and saying anything. And I went home, and I told Margaret, I says, I just got to go off and go pray for that girl. I said, I just can't stand it. And I went in the bedroom, and man, I'm telling you what, I started praying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and coming against that spirit in her. And I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord was just so strong in that room. I mean, it was just, it was overpowering. But I tell you what, when I came out of there, I told Margaret, I said, if I know the Lord, I said, that girl, she's going to be all right. And I went to bed that night, and I had the ugliest, awfulest dreams I could have possibly had. And I actually woke myself up saying, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're lying. You know? I mean, it was almost like that spirit was trying to come against me, you know what I mean? And I just kept saying, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. I don't receive you. You don't receive this, you know. Well, we went to church the next Sunday. And like I say, I was a pretty young Christian, and I felt like I should have testified, but I didn't. You know, I held back. And then another week went by, and that guy come in, And you could tell he was just busting at the seams when he come in. And he said he wanted to testify. And he said, I just want to tell you, he says, that little girl I had you guys pray for, he said, she's okay. He said, she came back, whatever it was. And I know there was some kind of demonic force trying to possess that girl. And you know, I knew that she was going to be okay. I mean, it wasn't something where I thought, well, Lord, I hope she's okay, or I knew she was going to be okay. And when I came against that in the name of Jesus, I knew that thing was going to be broken off of her. But, you know, that's the kind of prayer where you pray in that direction, you know. But when you don't really know God's will in a situation, what do you pray? Your perfect will be done, Lord. I don't know exactly what you're doing here, and yet your perfect will be done. I trust that it'll be the right thing, you know, and it will always be the right thing because he don't make mistakes, you know what I mean?
I have notes. We went to 6:9-21. What we went to the last time we were Matthew when we got together.
Yeah.
Could always take notes. And it was 6:9-21.
Okay. Well, we can go on down below that then. If we talked about fasting and all that.
But how we didn't discuss a whole lot in there. I know we read to that.
Okay.
But as far as
let's just pick up then let's pick up with verse 16, and we'll just read it again, and then if anybody's got anything we'll say about some of it. One, you guys got an amplified over there? You want to read it out of that?
Matthew chapter 6, verse
16. Yeah.
And whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy and sour and dreary like the hypocrites, but they put on a visible countenance that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full already. But when you fast, perfume your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father, who sees in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you in the open.
True.
Do not gather and heap up and store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust worms consume and destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. I go past.
I want to talk about fasting.
Yeah, let's talk about fasting a little bit, okay?
All right. You know, sometimes I've seen before in our scripture says some of these come about but by fasting. Mm-hmm.
That was when they cast out demons and that subject was
repentant. And mm-hmm. And I know that people have fasted over it. This or that. And I think people think, well, if I fast, it's going to move God's hands or He, you know. But the time that I have brought, it's more for your benefit.
That's right.
Because you are so given unto Him and away from all what you are not partaking of, that you are more open and more in subjection to God. Not trying to make
God
subject
to you.
Or subject and going to do this.
Well, you're denying the flesh when you do that, when you fast. And you know, you can go sometimes a whole day or maybe a day and a half without getting too hungry or something. But you say to the Lord, I'm going to fast. And you watch and see what happens. You're gonna get so hungry and so thirsty. But you, when you know, when I was younger, when I would fast a lot of times, I wouldn't take water or anything. You know, I would just fast for a day or something, and you know, that kind of thing. But all of a sudden, you get belly pains, you get everything, because your body starts rejecting that, because your flesh resists the spirit. It does. I mean, it just does. I hate to say it. And you know, like you said, when they asked Jesus about casting out things, and he said, this kind only comes through much prayer and fasting. So fasting is a really good thing. It's a good thing to do. But let me read this to you. This is Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And you break every yoke. Is this not the deal? My bread, to deal bread to the hungry, and to bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. And you know, a lot of times when you hide from your own flesh, I'm going to give you my interpretation of that, and maybe other people have a different one. But when you hide from your own flesh, it's hiding from the fact of your own shortcomings and your own desires and things like that, instead of admitting them and telling the Lord, Lord, you know, you got to deal with these areas. It says, then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward.
That's beautiful.
Oh, that's it.
That's moving.
That's it. That's the true fast there, you know.
That reward is actually protection. There's a note here that says that's our protection.
Verse 9, let me read that one too. It says, and then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put forth a finger, speak in vanity. Well, a lot of times speaking vanity is, and that's speaking something that's worthless, you know. And putting forth a finger, when you point the finger at somebody else, you know, you know. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Wow. I mean, I could go on, but I mean, I read Isaiah 58 and really study it sometimes. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. I'm sure you guys have read it many times, probably.
I'm not sure if you guys are going to think much of this fast, but I felt like I wasn't really fasting unless I was subjecting my body to something that I desired. Of course, most of you know, I'm a basketball nut. So I intentionally fasted the NCAA tournament. I never listened to it. I never looked to see what the scores was. And I did that for years. And somebody like Kurt would say, well, did you see the game last night? And I never did tell him why. Mm-hmm. But I felt like if I wasn't giving something up, if it wasn't costing me something that I desired to do, I really wasn't fasting. And I didn't make a program out of it and say, hey, read all about it. I mean, but the thing was, I knew in my heart that this was doing a thing for me. If it worked in me, sometimes we got to look in the mirror and say, look, work in there. Work in there.
I remember when it was me and Betty and two or three other ladies, was fasting. And we were fasting and we're looking to God for a real move at when we're going to the Church of God, because that's where I got saved, like on that area now, for a real move in the midst of, and the church, the people, the minister, you know, that. And we were working and fasting, and then we would meet after work out there, and we would walk around inside the church and praying. but praying over, you know. And that's when I always, when I fasted lots of different times,
mm-hmm.
but I always would do no, the first 3 days, no water, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I did just water, you know, for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was summer and working at work. It was hard. It really was. But then I was looking so forward when we got together to pray as a group, and we all were being subject to God is what we were feeling really before Him. And He spoke many things to us during that period, you know, that period of time. And also spoke many things in the Word through the pastor. That was the pastor there then. Many people, you know, from it, but I believe it was us being subject to Him, and we were to one another, you know, also. So.
Well, even when Jesus started His ministry, what did He do?
Fast.
He went out into a fast.
He went there 40 days.
Yeah, 40 days. So, you know, fasting is good. It's a good thing. I mean, it does cleanse your body, you know, because you get rid of a lot of toxins and things in your body and that. But you don't, if you're doing it for a spiritual reason, you're doing it to humble your flesh, you know. And like you said, you can fast from things that are so big of a desire,
right.
You know, that they hinder the Lord. I mean, to be honest with you, we've all said, you know, we've all said, well, I'm not going to church today. I mean, this has happened, I'm sure, to everyone in here at some time, one time or another. I'm not going to church today because I don't feel too good, you know. I'm just going to stay home, you know. Somebody, the telephone rings and said, hey, want to go shopping?
Want
to go out to eat? Want to go out here? You know what I mean? And I'm just being honest, you know. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, I can do that, you know. And it's not the coming to church, but it's the thing that, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to lay any guilt trip on anybody about not coming to church or coming to church or whatever. But we all have a tendency that we do that kind of stuff. We make an excuse. And if you don't want to come to church today, you just don't want to come to church, you don't have to make an excuse. You know? I mean, you're better off to just say, I didn't feel like coming to church today.
I want to go back and say something, Brenda. I believe what happened is God honored His word,
mm-hmm.
when you came to agreement.
Right.
And I think where the church doesn't realize there's really a purpose of God in agreement, because there becomes a oneness. And that oneness is something that we can't try. We try as we want, try as we might, and that's in our strength. We fail to do that. Because unless we get, that's why it's so important to get alone with God by yourself. To say, here am I, Lord. I was on a freight elevator at work, and God knew where I was at, but I'd shut that door, and it would take about 3 or 4 minutes to get to the floors I was going, and I'd go, here am I, Lord. And I go like this. I set that time aside to say, first of all, I recognize You're here with me, and the other thing is,
mm-hmm.
I'm wanting to hear You. I mean, people can, you know, every once in a while somebody'd open the door and catch me crying. You know, I mean, and I never apologized for that. I mean, you know, I didn't tell them while I was praying, or I didn't tell them that. I tell you what, I think we ought to be so wrapped up with His presence that His presence, there's nothing greater than His presence. What He says, His presence is basically His great reward to us. I mean, you know, just to know that you know that you know. And then, you know, when things happen to you, things are going to happen. But the Lord says, you're going to find My presence in that. You know, be at peace. You're going to find My presence in that. And how about this? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I think when you go back to talking about fasting, I think I've seen... with this eye, I've seen this, where people, you could tell instantly they were fasting. it would have been different if they were trying to hide it, but they wanted you to know it. And I'm sitting there going like this. Be honest with you, I tell the Lord, I said, I don't want to know that type of fast. I want to know where I'm hidden in you, and only you know it. And that's what it says, you know, like, and then clean yourself and wash yourself off. But it also says anoint yourself.
Right. And when somebody is doing that and you know that they're doing it, and then you can, it's obvious, you know, and then they're not trying to hide it, so to speak, then what does the scripture say? They've received their reward.
They already have it. Correct, right.
That's exactly what it says. And you're not doing it to get a reward. You're doing it to have a more intimate relationship with the Lord. That should be the main purpose there. You know, Lord, I'm going to fast because I want to draw closer to you. I don't want to basically listen to the dictates of my flesh. You know, and if we're all honest, how many times have we been a little bit hungry and you say, oh, I'm starving to death? You know, or ain't one of us ever starved to death, you know.
I laugh at
we
that.
I'm starving to death. You're starving to death, all right.
Hey, you out there, get back.
I speak for myself, I can live a long time without eating.
Well, I'm sitting over here thinking of a song, what was it, For Thy Pleasure or something, mm-hmm. We Were Created.
Yeah.
And I can't get all the words, but I believe the reason that we're still all here, and we're all here right today, is for His good pleasure.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Right. Well, you know, God is definitely working on us, and we all have, I don't know how to put it. Well, actually, a sermon I'm going to share with you eventually here is, we all have our paths, and we all have different paths. Not everybody has exactly the same path. God deals with us all how we need to be dealt with. You know what I mean? And some things that you do, I can't do. God won't let me do them. Maybe some of the things that I do, you can't do. You know? And God knows exactly where we all are. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And I've listened to that word from Clarice years ago about God will let you believe what you need to believe to get you to where
He wants
you to be.
Right.
And He'll let you believe some stupid stuff sometimes, you know, to get you to the point.
Well, you remember when God.
But eventually He'll bring it all back around where it belongs, you know.
Where He used her and said, and act like you've been there.
Yeah.
And I'm going like this. How many times you think the Lord wants you to feel that way about Him?
Right.
Let's put it this way. You've never been a place that He's not been.
Right.
You've never stood in a place where He's not been.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, if you really would realize it, His Spirit dwells inside of you. There's nothing that you can do that God don't know you did it.
Right.
And no attitude that you can't have that He doesn't know you had that attitude. And He knew ahead of time that you would have that attitude. And He knows exactly how to deal with you at the right time to quench that attitude if it's a wrong attitude. You know, attitude will determine your altitude in God.
Right.
It does. Your attitude, you know, you could take the Beatitudes, and it's be these attitudes, is what it's really saying. And it is true that one of the things that they talk about in an airplane, some of the controls the attitude. And I think the attitude has to do with where you are to a certain extent. I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to tell you how I feel, and I bet I'm right, because I think this is what the Lord was telling me. When you're flying and you don't know your attitude, you don't know if you're heading to the ground, you don't know if you're heading up,
you lose your
altitude. You lose your perspective of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm pretty sure even in a plane,
that's a bad
place
to be.
That's a very bad place, because you could be flying right into a mountain,
right?
Because you don't have the right attitude, you know. And Well, you know, and it works in the natural, it works in the spirit. The things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. Well, are we ready to move on a little bit? We'll go to the next one. Store not up for yourselves material treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where neither thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, Miles used to say, he said this to me a lot of times when I talked to him. I had a chance to talk to Miles a lot of different times because he used to come out to shop, you know, we'd give him work sometime, and he'd stand and talk to me for a long time, you know, we'd talk. And he used to make this statement about your heart, your eyes were in your heart were in your eyes. And when you think about that, that sounds a little weird, you know what I mean, in the natural, about your heart being in your eyes. But when you realize that what does the scripture say about when your eye is single?
Body be full of light.
Your whole body will be full of light. And really the things that you focus in on in your life, you know, you do your focusing in the natural through your eyes. And the things that you focus in on your life, that's where your desire is, you know. And it's funny because I've been watching women's basketball, you know, a lot. And that Caitlin Clark, she's a really good basketball player. She's astonishing for being a rookie and all this kind of stuff. But they have a thing when she was in kindergarten. They drew these pictures of what they wanted to do when they grew up. And she said she wanted to play basketball in the WNBA. Kindergarten now. Mm-hmm. And that girl is some of the things she does is phenomenal, especially for a rookie. I mean, she's broken all kind of records and everything else, and she has an attitude of lifting the people up around her. She's always talking about her teammates and how good they are and trying to get them to be better and stuff like that. You know, and you think, that was her whole focus from the time she was a little kid. And when she was a little girl, they put her on boys' teams because she was so good. The girls weren't good enough, you know. And she played basketball against people 2 or 3 years older than her, you know, and stuff like that. But there had to be a certain amount of determination from, and she seems to have that determination. But that's because she is focused in on that. In the natural, I'm just talking about now. And I'm sure that if you went and found out about Larry Bird, or you found out about Magic Johnson, or about any of these really good sports guys, sometimes it's strictly all just talent. But most of the time, it's that they had that desire from a long time ago, and they kept that desire, and they worked at that desire. And that's the way we have to be as far as the things of the Lord. We have to say, Lord, I desire to be like you. I desire to fulfill your purposes in my life. I desire to do the things that pleases you. And I think when we do that, that's our true treasure, you know. That's our true treasure. The natural things that we have, they come and they go, you know. I mean, you could be rich one day and you'd be poor the next day, especially if you got it all invested in a person, you know. And you know, I don't care how much you try to lay up for yourself. There's the story of Job. Job was the richest man in the East, you know. And Satan, it says Satan came before God. And God said to Satan, not Satan said to God, I've been looking at that Job down there, I'd like to really test him out. No, God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. what was God doing? He knew that there were some things lacking in Job's life. He knew that Job had a lot of self-righteousness, and he was a good man, and he was one of the righteous men, most righteous men on the face of the earth. And yet, what did God do? He allowed Satan to touch him. And that's where, you know, if we really realize God's in control of everything that comes our way, no matter what it is.
I see that as God knows our potential. He knew Job's potential.
Right.
Job didn't know it. In order for that to come forth, he had to go that way. God knew that he had to go that way, so he let him go that way. When we pick and choose, that movie comes back to my mind, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
A lot of times we do not pick and choose wisely.
Right.
You know, like, let's face it, when you got something out there and they're asking you to pick the potter's cup, the potter's cup got to be made out of clay or something. It can't be made out of diamonds and things like that. But a lot of times our eye will tell us, well, that's the most valuable. Well, if we choose the most valuable and we're looking with our eye, we're being lied to. Because that is not the most valuable. I mean, come on, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, what was his cup that he drank from? That's the most valuable.
You know, Clyde, when we listen to those tapes, and I still have a set of those tapes of Clarissa, but when we listened to those tapes originally from her, and she said that after a while, after God had been moving in their lives for a long time, and just miracles were happening and all kinds of things were happening, and she said that the Lord spoke to her one night and basically said to her, I will continue to bless you right where you're at if you want to stay there. But if you want to go on with me and do the deeper things or whatever, give away everything you got. They were rich. They were very rich. I mean, they had planes, they had Lexuses, and they had all kinds of stuff, and paintings and all kinds of stuff. They were very rich people. And she said, she went and told her husband, George, and George basically said to her, are you sure you heard from God?
That's right.
That's what he said. Yeah. You sure you heard from God? She said, they, sometime we ought to listen to those tapes again. They're really good. I mean, you know, and I'm not putting her on the pedestal, but I'm just saying, in every one of our lives, God knows exactly where we are. He knows what we've placed as essential, you know, in our lives and all this and that. And sometimes he asks us to let go of, you know, if we want to go on into the real deeper things with him. But just to finish what I was saying there. But anyway, she ended up giving it all away. They gave it away. And the church people were the ones come got it. They God told them, God told her to put it in the paper, you know, put it in the, I don't know if they put it in the news bulletin in the church or whatever it was. Said, but all of the church people came and took their stuff. You know, it's funny. And they were out in the woods, you know, and she, they had nothing. I mean, you know, George got sick where he couldn't work because he was like a real big real estate guy. He made all kind of money. And he got sick where he couldn't work and stuff. And so they're out in the woods, and she's out there, and she's just basically saying that every, she'd walk outside and look at the trees, and it'd be like they were like, it'd be just like, you know, she said, it was just miserable. She said, but even in the midst of that, God used her. She said her next door neighbor was messing up, you know, I guess, he was fighting with his wife or something. She could hear, they were out in the woods at a borrowed cabin they were living in. And she said she had made up her mind she wasn't going to take a bath. She wasn't going to do this. She said she had crust all over her clothes.
She was a mess.
She was a mess. And she said, it's actually hilarious. And she said, I got mad. She said, I got up and I went down to that guy's house and I said, you give me that gun. He was shooting a gun and stuff. And she said, I took his gun away from him. And she said, I said, now you get down on your knees and you give your life to the Lord. I mean, it's hilarious. But anyway, he did. He gave his life to the Lord. And he said she was laying in the bed one night and she said the sunlight was shining in on George's face and he said he just looked like an angel laying there sleeping. And she said, and the Lord spoke to her and says, Clarice, will you marry me? And she said, I said, yes, Lord, I will. And she said, after that, everything turned around, and all of a sudden, it was just wonderful, and there, she was willing to stay out there. But she said, she looked over at George, and she said, George was laying there sleeping, and said, all of a sudden, he hopped up into bed and said, Clarice, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to marry Jesus.
At the same time.
He was still
same time.
Same time.
Same time. That's what I really liked about that.
Doesn't unequally yoke you together. You know, that's the neat thing. And then she said, all of a sudden, God sent us back out and said, gave us back everything we had before and more, you know. But, you know, the treasure, your real treasure is not things. Your treasure is God, it's your relationship with the ones that you love, and all that. That's the true treasures, you know. Things are things. We've all got more things than we need. And
that's right.
My goodness, if we got rid of 99% of the stuff that we had, we'd probably still have too much. You know what I mean. And but anyway, a lot of it has to do with what are your desires and your wishes. And the Amplified says it, for where your treasure is, there's your heart, and your wishes and your desires on that which life centers. I've got an Amplified in here. It's a little bit different than your guys's. I don't know.
You got a newer,
slightly newer version.
Newer
or older one, I don't know which. It reads, when you guys are reading yours, this one reads a little bit different than what I have in here. But
what,
anyway.
What number was that we just read?
That was down to 21.
21. Well, we probably ought to stop there.
Yeah. All right. Brenda, why don't you close in a word of prayer for us today?
Father, we just so thank you for gathering together, hearing from you, seeing you in one another, oh God. And we thank you for the word that's brought and brought forth. We look forward to the